Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Luke over there. Luke requested this song because apparently when I'm on the radio with him, he feels lonely. That's really good. Makes me feel good. That's good. But either way, you should feel good because you're listening to us on the southern swath of Wisconsin on the Madison side on 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM on the Waukesha side on 540 AM WAUK as well as 101 FM The Shaw.
And Yeah,
you can check us out on the Devil Radio app as well as give us a call or a text at 844-967-2789. It's 844-96-PARTY. And we're going to have a great time.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday after election. We're dissecting some of the results, talking about them, taking your calls, 844-967-2789. But we got a number of other stories breaking as well outside of election results. So we're going to maybe dive into one of these ones that kind of grinds my gears a little bit, Brian.
Well, I want to lead into that by giving you a little bit more election results here, because every now and then there are ballot referendums and things like that on your spring ballot or on any ballot, really, that you can vote on.
Okay.
And the River Alliance of Wisconsin has Clean Water Now referendums, and they were approved in two counties. Eau Claire and La Crosse County, which seemed to be, according to what results are showing, is very, very blue.
Yeah.
Eau Claire, and I mean that.
At least they fought off conservative-backed candidates for school board.
Yes.
Those areas, La Crosse and Eau Claire, did not elect the conservative-backed school board members, and they passed these ballot referendums.
But blue as well in the water conservation. On the water conservation area. So voters in Eau Claire and La Crosse County show their support for better water protection actions and legislation by voting yes to advisory referendum questions on their spring election ballots. In both counties, the referendum question read, should the state of Wisconsin establish a right to clean water to protect human health, the environment, and the diverse cultural and natural heritage of Wisconsin? And that's kind of a hard statement to disagree with.
Yeah.
So 79% in Eau Claire and 86% in La Crosse Valley. Yeah. Here's a quote from the River Alliance water advocates or organizer Johnson Bridgewater. Approving the Clean Water Now advisory referendum in Eau Claire and La Crosse counties should send a clear message to our state leaders that water protection must be a top priority. Wisconsin just isn't Wisconsin without the clean water resources that are essential to healthy families and our healthy economy. I challenge you to find someone who's really against clean water in Wisconsin. The people who are against clean water are generally pro-business and for the most part says, yeah, we should have clean water, but it shouldn't be the business's fault. But in general said we should have clean water. You know what I mean? So I think this is something we all agree on. The problem is actually how that happens.
Yeah, how that happens. But leaving it up to the states is a big thing. But I just want to pause for a second. The Clean Water Advocate's last name is Bridgewater?
Yeah.
That's a great last name for a clean water advocate.
Hi, I'm Johnson Bridgewater. I'm a clean water advocate. Of course you are, Bridgewater.
That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah. But so speaking of this, because as we segue away from the election results for a moment, taking down a tangent, this headline kind of was a little jarring for me this afternoon as we were prepping for the show, and really a little bit blood boiling for me on this topic, Brian. But we got the headline over at the New York Times. Supreme Court revives Trump-era environmental regulation. The regulation, which was welcomed by industry groups, limited the role of states in enforcing the Clean Water Act.
So even if we have a referendum and the state actually gets around to doing something, which it probably won't because, again, you have legacy Republican appointees in there. Even if they decide to go and do something, it probably won't mean anything now. Thank you, Supreme Court Shadow Docket. Well, let's tell the people what we mean.
Yeah, reading from Adam Liptak over at the New York Times. So the Supreme Court on Wednesday reinstated an environmental regulation from the Trump administration that restricted the role states play in enforcing the Clean Water Act. The court's brief, unsigned order, gave no reasons, which is typical when the justices act on an emergency application.
An emergency application, by the way.
So, Brian, my rage here would be, regardless of what this topic was, the case, whatever the topic was of the case before the Supreme Court, that's irrelevant. We're bringing it in because it is relevant to the clean water referendum that passed in La Crosse and Eau Claire counties. But this unsigned opinion by the U.S. Supreme Court is extremely frustrating because it is a breaking down That is the best way that I can put it.
That's such a nice way to put it.
Right.
It's very frustrating.
It is
like a
hammer driving a nail through your hand. What I was saying before the show, I can't say on air, Brian. Yeah, I can't say it on air. So I'm trying to be constrained like as best as I can.
You know, driving a piercing nail through your hand into the wood underneath it. That's just a mild discomfort.
It's not just piercing of a nail through your hand, though. This is just fundamentally destroying the bedrock that is the governing principle of our system of government, Brian.
This is literally what we were like. You know how when everyone is like, "Oh, you're being hyperbolic. The court has integrity. No matter who's on there, they're going to rule with integrity." And who it doesn't matter if there's a beer drinking hooligan and a guy and there's some lady who's crazy and all that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the guy, you know, pubic hair on a Coke can. Like, who comes on to people like that anyway? Like, who thinks, like, oh, sexy, let's talk about a pubic hair on a Coke can. Oh, sexy, sexy. Like, what kind of a person? Like, that's the judgment I'm thinking about here. Like, I can understand, like, if you made a pass at someone and it didn't work out, okay, maybe sometimes people flub and think, but, like, pubic hair on a Coke can. Oh, sexy, sexy.
I did
sexy.
Not know we who were going to go down a Clarence Thomas nomination.
Sorry. Whenever these idiots get in on there, you know, the Republicans, like, oh, what's the worst that can happen? They're still a justice. You know, they have integrity. The Supreme Court can't really do anything wrong like that. They can't. And look at what's starting to happen.
It's the fundamental really crumbling of our system of checks and balances.
Yes.
Because the U.S. Supreme Court is taking this emergency action and we have dissent. We know it's somewhat convenient because with the shadow docket, you don't typically know the way that the justices rule. It's an unsigned opinion. That's why some of these justices like doing that because they don't have to hear the arguments. They don't have to put their name to it. They make a decision, and that is the judicial philosophy that has to be accepted then. But we do have the number that dissented, four justices dissented from this opinion.
And those four said
and
their names.
And all four of them signed their names to it. So we got the five that agree with this principle, even though they didn't put their names on it because they're cowards. And they're political actors in this in the worst sense that nobody thought that the U.S. Supreme Court would ever be like in the past. But so continuing on in the piece.
I want to read Kagan's.
Yes, because I want to get her quote out there because it is very important.
They use a couple quotes from her in the dissent. Writing for the dissenters, Justice Elena Kagan said the court should have allowed the appeal to proceed in the ordinary course. Quote, "The applicants have given us no good reason to think that in the remaining time needed to decide the appeal, they will suffer irreparable harm. By nonetheless granting relief, the court goes astray. That renders the court's emergency docket not for emergencies at all. The docket becomes only another place for merits determinations, except made with the full briefing and argument."
So basically, except made without. Let me correct that real
except
quick.
Except made without.
Made without the full briefing and argument.
So basically, you make the decision without ever hearing the argument.
Correct. The oral arguments be damned. The Supreme Court of the United States doesn't care about that anymore when making a decision. This is how they're going to rule through the shadow docket. That's congratulations, everyone.
Awful.
You broke it.
Here's more quotes from Justice Kagan. "The request for a stay rests on simple assertions, on conjectures unsupported by any present-day evidence about what states will now feel free to do. And the application fails to show that proper implementation of the reinstated regulatory regime, which had existed for 50 years before the vacated rule came into effect, is incapable of countering whatever state overreach may not occur. The applicants have not identified a single project that a state has obstructed in the 5 months since the district court's decision. Still more, they have not cited a single project that the court's ruling threatens or is likely to threaten in the time before the appellate process concludes. The point is, these people are appealing an emergency decision for something that hasn't happened."
Right.
They are appealing for an emergency decision.
They don't like...
for something that was already in place for 50 years, that was rolled back by the Trump administration, and now is rolled back again by the Biden administration, going back to the previous 50 years of precedent
A lower court struck down the previous Trump administration's rollback. So it was a lower court's decision that prevented prevented special interests from saying that the Clean Water Act could not be enforced by states. So the fact that these parties that are allegedly emergency aggrieved by this decision are going to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, the five conservative, ultra-conservatives, I guess if you want to call it, because in the four dissenting was Chief Justice John Roberts. He joined the three liberal-leaning justices on the U.S. Supreme Court in the dissent of this shadow docket decision. But that doesn't matter. Justice Roberts is the sixth vote in that instance. The five more conservative individuals said it's fine for the ruling on emergency act, emergency powers without proving any emergency need to throw out the clean water regulations for the states. Just deciding it without hearing oral arguments, without actually being able to establish why an emergency stay was necessary. And this shadow docket, this is a huge part of my frustration with the shadow docket decision around Wisconsin's maps. Because it is an unsigned opinion, Brian, that just allows them to operate without actually taking in any jurisprudence, any legal basis. They can just pick up the cases they want, choose emergency ruling without actually proving emergency relief is needed now, and just that be the rule. It is a fundamental breaking of the process that the Supreme Court uses to be an equal, co-equal branch of government.
So is this even something they even want to have happen or not have happen? Or is this just a, you know, floating out there to go and see if we can break precedent and have this be the precedent that we use to break the court from here on out?
It is literally a flare up in the air to every conservative lawyer or legal group around the country that if they have a problem with any ruling that is before any court, any court level, the appellates and the states, anything, they can bring it before the U.S. Supreme Court, and the conservative justices are going to use the shadow docket any way. They're going to contort the shadow docket any way they see fit to send back a ruling without actually hearing oral arguments or using any basis of the law, Brian. It is extremely frustrating. And when we get,
to say the least.
Again, that's what I can say FCC compliantly. That is my, I can give you my full comments off the air, folks. But you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, 844-967-2789. We're taking your calls up first this afternoon. We got Mark from the SAC joining us. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, make these justices that voted, you know, to let the companies pollute, make them, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, drink the polluted water. I mean, let them drink that contaminated water and see how they like that. In Wisconsin, the Republicans say, well, we can't have state laws tougher than federal law under the Clean Water Act. Well, then, you know, but they're not enforcing the Clean Water Act. I mean, they approve of that then, so we can our PFOFs in our water. And I mean,
or they're totally fine not confirming Evers' appointment to the Natural Resources Board that would allow the state to better regulate PFAS, because they're totally fine with a Walker appointee overstaying his welcome. Brian, we're going to be coming up on the anniversary of that expiration of that term for Frederick Prehn.
Wow, he's been there for a year after he should have.
Almost a year after he should have, at the end of this month. We appreciate your call, Mark. You can be like Mark.
What a magnificent a-hole that guy is.
Yeah, Fred Prehn, too. But you're absolutely right, Mark. They ignore it at all levels, and they say that they want clean water. They allege that that's what they're in favor. Like Brian says, it's something that it's hard to be against. It's hard to be against clean water in the state of Wisconsin, but they support the political actors that are all totally fine with undermining any regulations to actually make sure that our water stays clean.
Well, now, the good news is with this shadow docket and basically making it so that the states can't really regulate or follow the Clean Water Act themselves, there's no need for Fred Prehn to stay there. So maybe he might actually be able to step down and have somebody get appointed. No, it's power. I forgot. It's power. They don't care about it. Even if they won, they're okay, great. We're going to keep doing it. So let's keep the streak going, huh, Fred Prehn? You jerk.
Yeah. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. Taking your calls, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.